You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
It's that time of the week again. I've got Steve on the line. You there, Steve?
Certainly am, Josh, and welcome to you and the listeners for yet another Whatever Happened To on this very, very hot day here, and I dare say it is in Shepparton, but we're not going to complain about the weather because people will get a bit tired of that, Josh, I think.
I know. But everyone is complaining it is a shocker here today.
Yeah, well I think just a bit of rain would be nice, I must admit. It'd be good.
Yeah, I think rain is coming. We'll wait and see. But yeah. Who have you got today?
I just think earlier today, Josh, it would have been more appropriate on the day that we're recording this, which is Australia Day, to have an Australian artist. But we did one last week, so that was a bit remiss of me. I probably should have waited for this week to do Lonnie Lee. But in lieu of that, we've got a duo that many people will know, and their music they will like, I'm sure, Peter and Gordon.
Yeah. I was confused. I was thinking Puff the Magic Dragon with Peter and Gordon, but that was someone else, wasn't it?
That was Peter, Paul and Mary, Josh.
Yeah, well, I knew there was a Peter in there, but Peter and Gordon are pretty good.
Yeah. There's a slight difference between the two groups that you're talking about, but listen, I'm not going to put that on you. That's fair enough. That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyway, Peter and Gordon, tell me more.
Well, I'm going to actually tell this story in a sort of a different way. I'm going to talk about the two artists separately. I'm not going to talk so much about their partnership together, but listen to their story separately is probably a good way to go about this. So I'll start off with Gordon. Now, he was born Gordon, it was quite a long name here, Gordon Truman Riviere Waller, and he was born on the 4th of June 1945 in Aberdeen in Scotland to a prominent surgeon and his wife. Now, the family moved to Middlesex when he was a young boy, and just as at this stage, he actually met Peter Asher at a school called Westminster School, and then that's when they started playing as a duo. I'll talk a little bit more about them together later on. Now, I'll move on a fair way here, but because I want to talk a bit more about Gordon and his later, after the two of them had disbanded. He actually attempted a solo career, which was unsuccessful. This goes to show you that together they were very good, but singly perhaps not so good. He performed as Pharaoh in a production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in 1971, then worked as a photocopier salesman before he moved to LA, actually, and starting a publishing company which was called Steel Wallet International Limited. And he started this with his long-term girlfriend, Georgina Steele, who he married after obtaining a divorce from his first wife. In 2002, he was involved with the recording of He's a Rebel, the Gene Pitney story. And in 2007, he released a solo album called Plays the Beatles. He got married three times. He lived in Cornwall for 8 years during his first marriage. In later life, he lived in Connecticut, where he passed of a cardiac arrest on the 17th of July, 2009. They had a sold-out tribute concert for him, though, which was held in Las Vegas on the 29th of May, 2010. Where Peter Asher, his partner in crime, Chad and Jeremy, John Walker of the Walker Brothers, and DJ Fontana, who we've mentioned before in the Wayne Fontana story, who was Elvis's drummer, they all performed. Now, that might sound a pretty quick précis of a person's life, but Peter Asher's is probably a little bit more interesting, but he was born on the 27th of June 1944, and he was born also to a doctor. He was also a broadcaster and an author of medical articles. And his mother was a professor of music and drama. So based on that, I would say born into a fairly well-to-do family. He was a prominent child actor, and he appeared in quite a few films, and one on TV, and one was being The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know which Adventures of Robin Hood that is. I think there's quite a few of those. But that would have been back, I would say, sometime in the...
I think the 1950s one.
Yeah, late 50s, perhaps early 60s, yeah. He attended Westminster College, where I said he met Gordon Waller. And then he read philosophy at King's College in London. So he certainly moved very well in the professional area. Now, after the two of them disbanded, and I'm sort of showing over their career a little bit here, but he did a lot of work afterwards. And after they disbanded in 1968, he worked at Apple Records, and he signed an unknown James Taylor of Have You Got a Friend's fame, and he produced an unsuccessful album. But he was so convinced of Taylor's ability that he ended up becoming his manager, and then he resigned from Apple in the process. He produced a plethora of successful Taylor albums as well, as producing work from Linda Ronstadt. He was involved in a partnership which was instrumental in the Roxy Theatre in West Hollywood being opened, and he was also involved with artist management after that and in production of a Buddy Holly album and TV special. He was awarded a CBE for services to the British music industry in 2015 and was involved with a Beatles radio special in 2017. He's been married twice, has one daughter, Victoria, and now lives in Venice, California. One of the sidelines of Peter Asher was that his sister was Jane Asher. And now Jane Asher, of course, was involved in a relationship with Paul McCartney in the mid-60s. And Peter and Gordon actually became, quite often were given unrecorded Lennon-McCartney songs to perform. Now, quite a lot of those became big hits, and I'll read the list of songs out. And this is from 1964 until they disbanded in 1968. I'll give you the songs and whether they're Lennon McCartney songs and where they were in the UK and the US. I might say I haven't got any indications as to where these songs were in Australia, but they were very well known out here, and I dare say that the songs that were successful overseas were also successful here. In fact, I'm sure they were. Now, the first song they had was a Lennon McCartney song, and that was World Without Love, and that was 1964. That's probably what their best known song. And that was number one in the UK and the US. It has on the record label, I think, as written by someone called Webb. So it was actually McCartney who provided that pseudonym. Nobody I Know in 1964, that finished, there's a Lennon McCartney song also, and that was 10 in the UK and 12 in the US. 1964, I Don't Want to See You Again, 16 in the US, but didn't do anything anywhere else. Again, another Lennon-McCartney song. So they did very well in the first part of their career with Lennon-McCartney songs. The next song, Will I Go to Pieces, was 1964 also, and it was 9 in the US. Didn't do anything in the UK, which is one of these strange anomalies that we seem to have quite often, where the country where these people were born, they seem to be more successful elsewhere for some reason. Now, that song by I Go to Pieces was actually written by Del Shannon. So I thought that was quite interesting. I knew that he had written quite a few songs, but I wasn't aware that was one of them. Next song in 1965 was True Love Waves. That was 2 in the UK. So that was a success over there. And then 14 in the US. To Know You Is to Love You, 1965. That was 5 and 24 on the charts, respectively. Woman, which was another Lennon-McCartney song, 1966, 28. And 14 in the charts. Then Lady Godiva, well known to a lot of us, in 1966. That was 16 in the UK and 6 in the US. Night in Rusty Armour, 1966. That was quite as successful. And, you know, some of those songs that actually were monumental hits all over the world. And I think Gordon Waller actually described it. He said their voices were quite different, but together we achieved this very nice harmony, and I'd have to go along with that. I reckon they were terrific together. Now, they did some reunion concerts. One was in 2005 for Mike Smith of the Dave Clark Five. You might remember I talked about Mike Smith. He had he was a lead singer, and he had a shocking accident, and he became a paraplegic, and they did a special show for him. And also they did others in 2007, 8 and 9. And the last one of which was the 50th anniversary commemoration of the death of Buddy Holly, Big Bopper and Richie Valens.
Oh, okay.
So Peter and Gordon, although I didn't talk much about their... Look, they performed everywhere. They performed on most of these popular TV shows. They performed in the UK, US and around Europe. They were a very, very popular group. So I probably haven't talked too much about their time together. But individually, the stories were quite interesting. And together as a duo, I thought they had many memorable songs, which I've mentioned a few of there. So, Josh, I would like my first choice, and look, this is a bit tricky once again. Sometimes when I've got groups that have had multiple songs, I have a lot of difficulty sorting out which one I want to hear. But World Without Love is one of their first song, and I think that deserves priority.
Okay, here is Peter and Gordon, World Without Love. And yes, a nice one, and yeah, very good duo. And I was just reading actually a little bit of trivia you didn't mention, but do you know about the song Yesterday?
How
that's related to Peter Asher?
That was added to Peter Asher, was it?
No. Paul McCartney wrote Yesterday, but
Paul McCartney. And I was thinking he was talking about the relationship he had with Jane Asher. Is that correct?
Well, sort of. He wrote it at Peter's house when he was staying there.
Oh, right.
Very briefly. So, yeah, wrote Yesterday at Peter Asher's house.
Well, perhaps he was having a chinwag with Peter about Jane and decided that the relationship might have been over. I'm only surmising.
I think so, maybe, yeah. But, well, a bit of music history. I think Yesterday is a pretty famous song, so... Yeah.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, the other songs that I've listed here, Josh, are Woman, Nobody I Know, and I think I'll have Whenever You Want to Play This One, Lady Godiva.
Well, I think we can manage that.
That's very good. I think they all be on your playlist, that's for sure, but there's a fair few songs there to choose from.
I should ask, are they both still alive?
No, I mentioned that Gordon had passed back in 2007. Peter Asher's still going along. Saw an interview on YouTube with him. I'm not sure what year it was, but he certainly still looked fairly healthy and alive and kicking quite very well. And he's done a heck of a lot of extra work and involved in the music industry, so that's why he got that special CBE. So, look, they're a great duo. Again, I'm not sure whether they perhaps got due mention in the annals over a period of time, but for me, a lot of those songs that they sang were memorable and deserved to be part of this particular segment, Josh.
Yes, yeah, great duo. And thanks, Steve, and look forward to who you have next week.
Certainly will. I've got a couple more lined up there, and I'm not quite sure who it's going to be, and I'm not going to give any more hints, Josh. So
okay.
There you go.
But their name isn't Lonnie, is it?
Definitely not. The only Lonnies that you'll hear about are the two that I've done, and there probably won't be any more of those around, unless there's someone that appears in the next couple of months. I don't know.
Yeah.
So all the best to you and the listeners, and I look forward to catching up again next week.
Yeah, and hopefully we can stay cool.
That would be very good, I must say.
Yeah. Well, take care, Steve, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
All the best, mate. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.